Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched two things this week. We started off with The Flash, which is the latest film in the DC Extended Universe, and then we watched Elemental, which is the latest Pixar animated film. Major spoiler alert for both of those. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? All right, we watched The Flash, and I'm actually going to start with Jackie, because I have more questions for Matt off the bat. That's only because we briefly texted. So Jackie, what did you think of The Flash?
I thought it wasn't the worst DC movie I've ever seen.
A glowing review if I've ever heard one.
That's like the highest bar of all time.
So it's kind of like one of the... I mean, it was a movie I watched. I really don't have strong feelings about it.
Okay, then I will ask Matt. Matt, could you please explain the text you sent me? Could you read the text you sent me and then explain the text you sent me?
Yeah. I said, of course, we'll talk about it on the pod. But why did I just cry through half of The Flash? I think that's what
so. My question to you is: why did you cry through half of The Flash? Was it being upset at how bad it was? Being upset, being moved by how good it was? Like what?
It's twofold. I think
okay.
So it started. The story kind of was getting me, like the personal story for him with mom and dad and all that stuff.
Yeah,
was getting to me. So I was invested enough in that. And then the first time I cried was when Michael Keaton suited up and I realized everyone knows that's my Batman, like I have no claims otherwise.
Yeah.
But I just was so like, I was excited he was in it, but I was so like unexpectedly like overwhelmed with like happiness seeing him on screen again. And then, and the fight scenes with him were so good. I thought they were like highlights for me. Like, I mean, choreography and everything with them.
Uh-huh.
And he just, not like it's like the hardest role to ever play, but he just like seamlessly, like there was, to me, there was no time had passed. He just literally, I mean, he was older, but he was playing the role like the exact. And I was like, oh my God, like my Batman's back. And I wanted to see the film to avoid, like as soon as possible to avoid spoilers, because I had hopes that Michelle would be in it, even though I don't think that she would have fit in this story.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping Michelle Pfeiffer would be in it.
Sure.
Because she's always so coy and talking about how like she would love to put the cat suit back on, and she like practices with her whip outside still. And I thought, how fun would it be? Like, I would have loved this future, not really future. You know,
what if they like ended up together or something? You know,
that's
like
what I wanted, and I wanted her to be with him. And I just, even if she didn't go fight a bunch of crime, I just thought it would have been fun if they were like together. You know, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it didn't detract from like I was overjoyed by seeing him. And then the other part of it is that I'm realizing that like we talked about Wakanda Forever, we talked about a couple other movies like The Boogeyman. I brought up to you, Dana, recently when we were talking on the podcast.
Yeah.
These movies that are coming out that are all focusing on like grief and like the idea of like not moving on from something but learning to move forward from it are hitting me in a crazy way since my grandma died. I think that's
sure.
Like, a mess in the when he was talking to his mom,
the wonderful
Mercedes from Pan's Labyrinth, she's not in enough things,
she really isn't.
But when he was talking to her in that supermarket at the end there, I was like blubbering mess, like I couldn't even control myself. it was a lot.
I will also admit to crying during that. Yeah.
Yeah, that sequence, I definitely teared up. Like, I will say, I think Ezra is a good actor, right? And like you, I definitely enjoyed, the old Batcave and seeing Michael Keaton and, like, the whole deal. Like, I love that they made those canon, even though they were never not canon, right? But they're still, like, all in this same universe, I guess. I don't know. That was fun.
Well, actually not.
Yeah.
Because I think the
spaghetti verse.
This confirmed that even they are indifferent, because the Joel Schumacher one with George Clooney potentially is not, it's not him replacing Michael Keaton anymore. Now it's him in his own universe.
Yeah, exactly.
They retconned the multiverse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was fascinating.
I thought it was gibberish, but I didn't hate the way that they approached spaghetti verse. I was just like, you know what, fine, who cares, time is non-linear, I'll give you that, whatever, this has a ripple. And then it's very similar to what is the thing that we saw recently. Jackie, have you seen Spider-Verse yet?
No.
I'm going to stop talking right now. Anyway, I didn't dislike the way that they handled the multiverse. It's just that they were like, just move along. Just move along. I was like, okay, fine. But, you know, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back. I hated the way that they handled running back in time and the creepy CG versions of everybody that, like,
that was so
I don't
weird.
Know what those choices oh were. It yeah. was so Uncanny Valley. Like, not even Uncanny Valley. It was just creepy. Yeah.
Well, and it doesn't need to be that way. You could just make the... It doesn't even need to look cool when he does it, to be honest. Like, you could just...
Well, it can, though, but the thing is, it can look fine. Because, like, it was weird because there were effects in the movie. Like, I hated the sequence of saving the babies. I understood the humor, but I just...
It was so bad.
My theater was completely crowded, and no one was laughing during that sequence.
Yeah, it was
a single soul.
I hated that. But there were other effects in it that were, like, okay, right? They were, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
To where that was clearly intentional that they were making it them all look fake when doing that. And so right. It was this thing where I was like, why was that your choice? It just was so weird.
And it was also like they chose scenes, generally speaking, that it wasn't so hard to get footage of, right? Like there was, I don't recall anything there being like, oh yes, there was no way you were going to get that actor. And therefore there was no way you're going to be being able to, you know, show the like, you know, hologrammy version of them even or whatever distortion. Instead, they're like, oh, we're going to do a full CG version of them. And it was so creepy. I hated them so much.
Well, they have the footage. So like
that, right. So it was, I was just like, it's like not, I don't think anybody was, you know, passed away. And so like any of the actors that they featured or it wasn't stuff that they didn't already have in the can. So I don't understand what that active choice was.
Yeah. But then you go forward and you get like Christopher Reeve and he didn't look great, but he looked okay. Unless that was all stock footage somehow. I don't remember. Like, it was like, I know clearly Nicolas Cage was not.
Yeah. I think it was probably like stock, but they were able to do a better job because there was reference to map to. But oh my God. You both know I love Nicolas Cage. But I was like, oh no. Like, I'm kind of glad for him he got his moment, but I was also like, oh no.
Well, what was funny is it just looked so terrible. But even though, like, I'm not, you know, by any means a Nicolas Cage fan, I didn't actually laugh out loud at it, but I laughed internally of the, like, them doing it.
Because
it was just so, it's always been such a thing of our lives that Nicolas Cage was supposed to play Superman and never did.
Yes.
So,
right.
And they even gave him long hair and stuff and all that, like, he was going to have it. So I was like, okay, I could be on board with it, but it looked bad.
Did we get Cavill? Bad. I don't remember getting Cavill.
Yeah, he showed up a couple times. There were like two.
Okay. Yeah.
Not very, like
very lot, weirdly, he was just like, with his shirt off a couple of times. It was just him with his shirt off, which I appreciate as, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Someone who likes to look at that. But it was, I just remember thinking specifically that I was like, oh, okay, we're only going to show him with his shirt off.
Yeah, and I was sad for you, Jackie. I didn't see any, Val Kilmer.
No, I was looking for you, but they didn't even make a joke out of my favorite Batman. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I feel like that one was like, you know, it's such a weird one because, you know, Christopher Reeve. Also, I was like, did Christopher Reeves, like, I assume his estate blessed this, you know? This is what really actually freaks me out about, like, CG and stuff like that. I was like, oh, you get retconned into this. Like, you know, and you're relying on your family or your friends or whoever's in charge of your image going forward to make these choices based on, I'm like, ugh. I'm assuming they must have, but that stuff just, I mean, it was fine. The fan service stuff, I was like, it's not for me. It's fine. I did love when the Elfman score came on. Like, that was my, you know, that got me in my bones. I was like, oh, okay. You know, this is great.
I loved the old Batcave. I don't know. I was into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sting Keaton was great. No... The music tone or like the music cue for me, for whatever reason, like that's when it hit.
Yeah, well, no, and that's when, I mean, because that was when, well, I guess that was when they were revealing the Batcave, but then he suited up. But it was like, that was the whole sequence. That's when I started. And honestly, as much as I think, we haven't even mentioned Supergirl yet, but as much as I think, like, she was not great, she was fine.
I don't think it was her fault. I'm not sure it's her fault. Yeah.
Yeah, like, all of it, just the package of her being in the movie was not great to me.
But no, yeah.
I was happy to have her there, but it just wasn't, like, it could have been better. But
just could have.
But, like, the Frankenstein scene. I actually got emotional when she came and picked him up and brought him up. It was cheesy, but I got emotional. I was just the stuff in the Batcave was making me emotional in general. But then
I liked the second half of the movie a little bit better because of it. But I agree. I think you could have replaced her with anyone really in the sequences. It wasn't like,
yeah, they she wasn't given an opportunity to shine.
Yeah.
She was, yeah, and like, they kind of wrote it in such a way where, like, you know, yeah, it's the super people of Krypton. It's like kind of emotionless, I guess, if you want to say, but it's like, but it was just written and done in such a way that it was just this total monotone type of just kind of like moody, well, kind of Michelle Rodriguez in a moody role type of vibe with the hair over the, and I was like, just, I wanted the, well, I didn't Kristen's like the hair very much.
Yeah, I didn't like the hair either.
In some ways. Yeah.
Well, I think, and I'm not, you know, blaming her necessarily, but, you know, when the male performers have done it, it's come off as like manly and here or whatever. But when she does it, maybe this is also just because she's younger, it comes off as like petulant emo-y. And her character has had more suffering directly at the hands of people. So I get that versus, you know, Superman who's just grew up happy and wherever he was from, you know, but I was just like, oh, this is not. I'm not on your side, but I'm not like on your side.
You know, she was alive for the destruction of Krypton. He was a baby, you know, so like she knows so much darkness.
And that's why, like, we needed flashbacks from her stuff. I know that they wanted to, like, make us think they were actually rescuing Superman, right? And so they couldn't tell us that it was Kara until later. But we needed to have some context into, like, how badly she was treated, what, you know what I mean? So we can care about her more.
Yeah. I think they tried to shortcut it, and I don't think it was as successful as it should have.
Yeah, for as much bat screen time as we got between Michael Keaton and even Ben Affleck at the beginning, it felt as if she just, as a player in the film that mattered almost as much as anyone else, didn't get nearly the amount of attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer. Because, you know, you can still keep that a surprise,
or even like if you don't want to do flashbacks,
but you can still give her backstory.
Yeah. Even if you don't want to do flashbacks, she can have a conversation with someone, you know?
Yeah. Or, you know, show us, this is terrible, but, you know, show us a more active mistreatment in that center as, you know, we're rescuing her, as versus like finding her in a perilous situation. Yeah, it was not. I didn't like dislike her, but I just didn't think that it added anything to it, which kind of sucks because it's like, oh, cool. Like, you're making one third of this, you know, a female superhero. Nothing. Okay.
Well, and then they didn't have a problem, you know, making us watch her pretty brutally die like 4 or 5 times in a row. Like, you know what I mean? Like, pretty brutally, like Batman got to explode on a ship and stuff, but she was just like stabbed in the chest multiple times, which I get that's what they needed to do, whatever, to distract, whatever. But I just mean, you know, they weren't shying away from the brutality aspect there, but it's very kind of absent before. But, you know, that's, you know, it's a criticism I have. But yeah, I didn't come out being like, oh wow, that movie was amazing, I love it so much, I'm recommending it to people. But I enjoyed it. I thought Ezra did really great playing against himself.
I was gonna say the elf in the room is Ezra, and I also think he did a really, like, I'm reticent to say it almost, but he did a really good job.
They're they them, I think, though. Just
really? Okay. Mm-hmm. They did a really great job. Yeah. Oh, you're right. They're currently keeping they them pronouns.
Yeah, and they did. And I think that having one that was nearly 10 years younger, I couldn't decide at the beginning if they were anti-aging at all. But then every time I look at like the more present day, like the age we're looking at, they just don't look old at all. So I was like, it didn't bother me. I think the haircut was enough to like.
Yeah, but it was the haircut. It was the attitude change. It was, you know, it was enough in their.
I think that they
close did enough in age.
Yeah, they did a good enough job with like the energy of the two people being so drastically different. You know, a la Tatiana Maslany and, you know, in Orphan Black, I feel like you could tell just by looking at them, even without the characteristics. Like, even if they were not wearing the same outfit, you could totally tell which clone she was.
Yeah, I know the TV probably bristled up against this a little bit, you know, when dumb Flash is learning their powers, or it's immature young Flash, is I did laugh at some of those, you know, in the not listening to
falling through the floor and then
falling to the floor, just the, and it was cheap, but like the clothes just constantly catching fire. Like, all right.
Yeah, well, I thought the idea of taking the comic relief of the Justice League team.
Yeah.
In the young comic relief, I will say. I guess Aquaman's funny too, but you know, like the young comic relief here, and kind of forcing that character, which I guess in the film it's we say he, him, right?
With Barry. Barry is a he, him.
Forcing the character to confront his older, a different version of himself that hasn't gone through the grief or like the canonical or like the character defining moment that kind of shapes who you are, and like having to confront like, oh wow, I actually don't like
I don't like who I was. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how I'd feel talking to teenage me.
It's not teenage.
I don't think I'd like it either.
Them, because this person grew up with a mom, so it's a totally different person as far as you know. They would perceive probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're probably jealous and envious of this person. You know, well they are. They're very clearly. Yeah,
they were. Yeah.
Right. So in that point, the plot point of the powers, like I was like, well, I thought what was interesting is that Flash wouldn't have gotten the powers at all if he didn't come in and interfere, because he wouldn't have been there, you know, in that universe.
Yeah, it did make me think of something, Jackie. You've said a bunch of times where it's like, oh, it's a problem that could just be solved with one conversation, because he's already ruined the butterfly effect, right, or the grandfather paradox or whatever it is, right? He's met himself in time, and so if he were to be like, Mom, you know, listen to me because your mother died, you know, all this stuff. I'm just like, he would listen. He would definitely listen. I think he would listen, you know, but he just doesn't say it. I was like, come on, man, just say it. Yeah. Just say it.
Yeah. Well, and it's like one of those things where, I mean, whether you have to trust Bruce or not, Bruce at the beginning, like, I think didn't say it enough, I guess, but like, kind of like he said, you know, only bad things will come if you go back in time and start meddling with time.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I know. And then did it anyway. And it's kind of like, well, maybe you don't do that. But
yeah,
you
know. I mean, I think they built up enough of like a use case or like a reasoning that this is so all encompassing and so like all consuming to Barry that I was like, yeah, I would see them ignoring it, you know. I'd be tempted to ignore it. You know, I think we'd all be tempted to.
Okay. I was gonna say the like least believable part for me was that the girl decided to ask him out after all the weirdness. He was very weird to her. Okay. He like left her alone in his apartment after mumbling some weird shit. And I'm just saying that like that was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, I think she's supposed to. I don't remember because I will never rewatch it. But this one clearly, clearly acknowledged the Snyder Cut.
Did it?
Oh, was like, she in the Snyder Cut?
Uh-huh. Is she?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
She says, like, I remember you saved me from a car, from that car and everything. That was in the Snyder Cut.
Oh,
and,
I didn't. Yeah.
And then at one point when he's talking to Bruce, he's talking about like that he did go back in time at one time, and that happened in Snyder Cut because it was teasing Flashpoint. You know,
but like, I still think that no matter how fondly you think of this old college friend, if they were mumbling crazy things at you the whole time.
Well, what I was saying is I think I got the impression that, I don't know if I'm right or not, but I think that she might know that he's the Flash.
Oh,
okay. That makes more sense to me then.
She's like, okay, he's clearly trying to avoid telling me that. But
although,
you know, like.
Based on
I don't know if it's true or not.
Because then the weird behavior would make a lot more sense, to be honest.
But based on, so he from, let's use, I'm going to use the Batmans as my like anchors here, right? So he comes from Affleck universe, and then he, you know, goes through Keaton universe, and then the girl who asks him out lives in Clooney universe.
That's true. Yeah,
so
that's a different universe.
Did he actually leave her in his apartment, or could something else have occurred before?
Yeah.
And it's not, that's, you know, they never.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. I hate time travel.
I mean, both are valid, but you know, could.
No, totally. But yeah, at this point, we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but to Matt, your point, I'm not going to go back and rewatch it, but I feel like he may have been like, oh, sorry, I, you know, that was weird, etc. So that's possible. Both are true. There's universes where both are true.
Oh, totally. But I think you're right, though, that actually, since that's the, I'm going to call it the Schumacher universe.
Sure.
I think that would say that, like, yeah, we don't know the experiences they've had together. And at that point, Barry is thinking that was their experience. You know, that is the same girl.
That was his experience. So, we just don't know if it was her experience.
But then I'm like, but then why? But then it breaks this question where I didn't love the George Clooney thing at the end for this reason. Because I get, okay, it's teasing this movie that we'll maybe probably never get at this point, right? But in the first place. So I almost feel like you should just like, whatever. But
yeah, I do want to ask.
But it's like, why wasn't Barry, I guess we don't know what that Barry's doing, but why didn't that Barry show up to his dad's court date then? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why wasn't he there? Because we watched Barry exonerate his dad.
Yeah.
Right. So he changes the thing and whatever. Okay. And then at the end here, you find out in the credit scene, or maybe that was a different.
No. Oh, so I think either way.
Oh, you know, I didn't watch the credit scene. I was like, I'm leaving.
Oh, that was Aquaman. This was actually just the end of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So my theory on it was like, even though he changes where the can is and gets the dad to look up, the footage is still so old. It takes getting to the future to be able to like. So it you know, he showed up at his dad's court date, but he couldn't get him exonerated until whatever that point in time, no matter what.
Yeah, but then I'm saying like, if he's in a different universe and didn't know it, where was that universe's Barry?
Oh, I think that's the question of the next one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like, yeah, just because it feels like
is that there needs to be like the Affleck Barry and the Schumacher / Clooney Barry need to like rectify. You know, that would have been the next movie, or like he needs to get back to Batverse.
Yeah,
yeah,
like maybe they got swapped or something. Like maybe the other one's doing something else and switched to different. I don't know, because I'm just meaning like if he's there at his dad's thing, it's a big day. That version of Barry, that universe's Barry, would have been there for that big day.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see. Okay. Yes. Why is Schumacher Barry not actually there?
Yeah. Maybe it opened a bigger problem where like it broke off a strand where like now there's the other Barry, there's another version of him who did time travel as well. You know what I mean?
And then right. Yeah. But so this brings up my question to the two of you. Going into this movie, knowing that like there's probably no consequences to it, you know, did that, how did that affect your viewing? Did it affect your viewing experience?
It did not affect mine.
Okay.
I think it affected mine a bit by letting me, even though we're sitting here talking about like how the time travel worked and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It made me kind of turn my brain off even more, where I was like, well, I know this is leading nowhere.
Yeah.
So like it's its own movie, whatever, which is why like I wish the George Clooney thing didn't happen. I wish it was a nice little bow at the end, because it felt like we're probably not getting that sequel version.
Yeah,
we're not going to find that out. So I would have liked it to just end, but I was kind of nice. It was kind of nice not to think about like, oh, what's the bigger thing they're building toward here?
Yes. You know? Yeah. I had a similar experience because, you know, at this point watching like a Marvel movie feels like a little bit of homework, because you're trying to figure out how does Kang fit into the next blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it doesn't matter because it's not going here. But I will say I enjoyed enough of it going into that. I was like, oh, I kind of want to know what would have happened. Like, well, how would this flashpoint have played out? I don't think they would have been able to write themselves out of it, but so it's good for their own sakes. But I was like, oh, you got me. I'm interested.
Well, yeah, we've seen with Wonder Woman and then Wonder Woman 1984, like they can't be trusted to like do a follow up. But at least in my opinion. But what I was going to say too, though, is even though I hated the baby sequence, I did really like the opening, like the bigger part that was a part of in that
like, him being Alfred's like impatient playing. For yeah
well yeah that and then Alfred's calling and be like, hey, I we need help, Bruce is doing this, but there's a blah, 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 whatever, and he's showing up, and then Wonder Woman shows up and whatever, and they were trying to get in touch with Arthur, they were trying to get in touch with Cyborg, like, you know. And I kind of liked the idea that like the little, it was a fun little tie to kind of be like, this is what the day-to-day Justice League is like. It's like they're not just together all the time in a headquarters, but they're coming together to do stuff when they need to.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that. Like, let me just
I really liked showing Bruce as kind of like this asshole who just sort of uses the Flash whenever he needs him. You know? Mm-hmm. I didn't like Ben Affleck trying to pretend like he's some sort of father figure.
No.
In some of those conversations. But
didn't bug me so much because he's an older Batman in this version. Or like in the Justice League version. And I actually didn't hate Batfleck.
I hate Batfleck.
No, I didn't hate Batfleck either. I mean, Bruce Wayne is just not a cuddly dude.
The thing is, like, I felt like he didn't get cuddly. He was just, like, giving advice. I guess I found it refreshing that it was, like, he wasn't just brooding about his parents like he always is. This time he was actually trying to impart wisdom about, like, you got to move forward.
Right.
You
know? Ironically, I was like, it was a setup to brood about his parents, and he did not. So he has done some work on himself.
I found it really refreshing. I found it refreshing, and I was just kind of like, oh, I appreciate this kind of like, oh, now you can actually be a mentor to someone in real life. Because every time he's a mentor to Robin, he's just crying about his parents the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, annoyed. Yeah. And Robin, I'm like, why do you put up with this?
Yeah, it was odd, but I don't like, I did the one thing I chuckled at. I was surprised we got Wonder Woman that early. And then I also, I didn't hate the Lasso of Truth thing. It was a cheap shot, but I was like, it was funny.
It was a cheap shot, but I did think it was funny. I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I don't know what sex is, I know what sex is, but I just don't know what it was. But when it was funny the way I liked Ben Affleck's delivery during that part because I didn't realize, we obviously that the gag, you didn't realize it was around him. And he just starts saying, well, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, oh, this is very honest for, for Bruce Wayne. And then, so it really did work. It was funny.
Yeah.
And so, it was fun, you know, to see her show up. And
She's my favorite by far. So.
Yeah, I just had a good time, you know, with that.
Overall, would you recommend this movie to people?
I would recommend it to anyone who is like already like at all interested in it. Like if they were like on the fence, but they were like, oh, I don't know. I thought the trailer looked decent. So I was looking forward to seeing it, even though it's not like, you know, wasn't going to be my favorite movie of all time or anything, you know?
Yeah. If you have interest in watching it, it's not a bad film.
It's not a great film, but yeah, I thought I was going to not be able to overlook the Ezra Miller part of it. I'm still a little on the fence, but I enjoyed myself. Everyone was like, it's the best blah, blah. I was like, no, it's not. So just temper those expectations.
I mean, the expectations are DC movie.
Well, everyone was saying, oh my God, it's the best. Not just DC movie. They're like, oh, it's such a great superhero. I was like, it's fine. Fine. You know,
it's not par with any of the good superhero movies.
I am a little bummed with the end credit scene with Aquaman to be like reminded that we are getting an Aquaman sequel still. Only because it is
not understand what's happening there.
I don't either, but I know that it's supposed to be coming in December or something or later this year. And so I'm like, I thought that this was fun and heartfelt and kind of messy, but an appropriately like kind of messy big bang of a way to kind of end. This franchise.
They're like, just kidding. You
know, whatever. But then it's like, no, we still have an Aquaman sequel, but for what? Because again, it's like,
where is it going?
Yeah. For what? Or unless there's going to be direct fallout from what has happened here that will help tie this story up more. Maybe that's, I don't know.
I will close it out with, I did like when he calls the lighthouse and Tamora Morrison picks up. He's like, is your queen? And in my mind, I was just like, or is your wife? And like, I just wanted him to say, is your wife Nicole Kidman? Because I was like, oh yeah, it's Nicole Kidman. So. Yeah. Yes. Again, there were moments, but yeah, I fully support anybody who is avoiding it because of, you know, objections to the star. That's very valid. I fully support anyone who just doesn't give a damn because that's also truly valid. But if you want to see it, like that was my thing. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to see it. It's fine. I'm not terrible. Yeah. But all right, moving on to Elemental. Matt, I'll start with you on this one. How'd you like it?
I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I saw it a while back, and then I watched it again this weekend with Ms. Mox.
Jackie?
But yeah, I loved it.
I'm obsessed with it. I loved it so much. I could not, I mean, I loved it so, so much.
Okay, could the two of you elaborate, please? What was it about it that you loved so dearly? Just everything?
Well, it's Pixar's rom-com, which I think is kind of fun. Like if you put this as a live action people story, it's a rom-com.
Yeah.
You know, like it just is, you know, and it's like okay, so this is like their take on a rom-com. And I was like, oh, that's really fun. And I thought it was really funny. I liked all the characters, but I really liked Wade. I laughed so much.
Oh, I laughed so hard. Every time he cried, I like was dying. I thought he was so funny.
I was touching.
Oh, but I loved his
really
family.
Our chemistry.
And I just was like obsessed with this like emotive male character. We never get that, you know, and she was the one who had trouble like figuring out her emotions and had anger issues. And like, and I just kind of like loved that sort of switcheroo on it. I thought that, you know, I mean, I cried like so much. I was like having a very, I just thought it was such a sweet story about love and in so many different ways, like familiar love with her family and, you know, not being in a community that was, you know, that was very insular, you know, but wanting to do more. And they didn't even like shove your face in it. We just saw her be really good at like glass blowing in a couple of scenes, but it wasn't ever like she was just like longing to be this person. She had kind of accepted her fate, like most, I would, you know, assume most people in those positions, you know, and how much she loved her family and how much she respected them for, you know, the sacrifices they made for her, and then having to make those choices later and kind of not fitting in to where she fits in, you know, where she is.
Well, in the glass blowing, I will say also what I liked too is that as the viewer, it looked cool every time she would do it, but we weren't made aware that it was a unique thing that she was really good at doing.
Exactly.
Because no one ever said anything about it. No one ever praised her for it until it was like this completely other type of like element, but really a person that she'd never been around that was like, holy crap. Like, that's amazing.
Because well, like, I thought it was impressive when she fixed the display case, but I was like,
no one else seemed to.
But her dad didn't look phased, right? Like, he just seemed like he was fine. Like, no big deal. And sort of the weight, I don't know. I liked the, you know, the way that they played with like the weight of expectation and how they were doing this wonderful thing, you know, in their eyes for her to set her up for success and make sure that she had a life, you know, that she wouldn't have to start over right somewhere and that they could build something that she could take over. And she was so grateful for it. And to the point where she wasn't even going to say anything, you know. And
I don't think anything she knew, you know?
Right? Because she
wage issues, but not knowing why.
Yeah, you know, I think that's such an important. Yeah, I just think it's such an important lesson about how, like, sometimes we're not very honest with ourselves about why we're feeling certain ways, and you know, it takes someone else or you know a third party to really help us, you know, understand those things because it's complicated, right? She wanted to be a good daughter, and her desire to be a good daughter just overrode everything in her life. Yeah, but beyond that, and it was so beautiful. Oh my God. It was so stunning. I loved all the cityscapes. I loved the water effect with the flames. I thought that was so beautiful. And just like the way they moved around and did things was very cool. And I thought it was hilarious. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So she liked it. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can tell, but like I really enjoyed myself.
Yeah. No, I think I'm very impressed. Like you saw, I saw all the things that you saw in it. They did not resonate with me as deeply. I think I was resonating more with other parts of the storylines, but I also like struggled a little bit with them because I felt like they were a little too one-dimensional. Or like
on the nose too.
Like simplified. Yeah, they were oversimplified in order to, because like the immigrant stuff is the stuff I'm talking about, right? And he's been very open about like, hey, it's, you know, it's New York, it's this, and you know, it's the whole distilling down to, you know, there are four different elements, but like obviously it's race and some of it's socioeconomic stuff, but a lot of it's race. I was like, it's just like a little one step too reduced for me.
Yeah, I wondered if people felt that it was too specific of an experience too in that way where,
yeah,
like it was, when you say one dimensional, kind of like it was so very specifically about the immigrant experience, but also a very specific like community of an immigrant experience. And then it's like, if yours was different than that, it's like, well, it's like, okay, that it's a very one track at it. You know,
I actually thought the specificity is good, but I think that they were not willing to trust that a wider audience would get it. And so they're like, we're going to be specific, but we're going to present it to you in literally like, you know, primary colors instead of trusting that people could understand that, like, you know, maybe they didn't need to be fire and water. The two are like so overly polar opposites. You know, I would have wanted like, I could have seen a more interesting film coming with like even more complexity if you added those things, right? Like maybe she's fire-ish, but you know, there's other things to her as well as being like fire, water, no mix.
Yeah, well, and the personality traits being so linked with the element
with it.
That they were too is a little kind of like on the nose. But
I want to make it clear. Like I thought the movie was fine, but
It didn't like blow you away or anything.
Yeah. No.
But it I thought they had really, really great chemistry, which I loved. And then I also wondered, because I obviously guess the immigrant experience is like the core of what they're basing, you know, the emotional heart of this story on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also was getting vibes, and I'm very curious about Jackie's take on this too. And I wondered when I saw it initially, I wondered if this would resonate with Jackie a lot. And then it, obviously the movie really did. But it also really, to me, felt like they were intentionally touching on accessibility in a lot of different parts, namely the scene when she wants to go see the flower and it's like, no fire here. Like you can't go in here. You're not allowed, all this, whatever. And then she's like, actually like not being told she's not allowed to do something or able to do something. They're living in a world that's not made for them. And then having to kind of live that life. And then having this person come through who like literally doesn't see the obstacle, like doesn't understand why there is like, wait, what? Like, you know, growing up with a privilege and you're like, you don't see someone else's obstacle they're going through. And then the kind of like bringing an accessibility to their world that they didn't even know was there. You know what I'm saying? Or that could be there. And I thought that was a really interesting thing. And then also, it's so far in an animated film, as I've noticed, it had the most wheelchair users I've noticed in an animated film so far.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's tied.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree that stuff resonated really strongly with me, you know, and being to the point where they didn't feel like they could even touch each other, right? Like they had all these feelings for each other and they felt like they couldn't even touch each other. And I feel like, you know, a lot of especially newly injured folks or newly disabled folks have a lot of trouble understanding how they can be sexual creatures again, right? How can they do these things that we've only been shown, like, you know, a very specific able-bodied pair and how it works, and being really shy to talk about those things with each other too, right? I mean, neither of them even mentioned they wanted to touch each other until, you know, later. And it was very obvious, clearly, that that's something they wanted. But yeah, you know, and she even says, you know, I never go to the city because it's just not made for people with fire, you know? And yeah.
Well, she could die at every turn. Like, yeah, it's like exactly. So not made. Well,
the thing is like, you know, to the point where they like have this transportation system that like offloads
right.
water into mm-hmm. places that would literally extinguish them. You know, if you're walking, like if a child was walking under that overpass, is that enough water to maybe, you know, seriously injure yeah. them? Like, we don't even know, right? But I do, yeah. No, I think, yeah.
Right. So it's like, it's really that layer. Right. Like, it's that layer. And the reason I was bringing up like the flower thing is it's like that layer of obvious, like blatant racism that exists, especially for the immigrant experience. But then you're adding that layer of, okay, yeah, you're not allowed in here. And that happened in segregation and all that stuff. But then you had this layer of like, oh, you're not allowed in here because we actually didn't make this with you in mind. And it's too dangerous for you to go in here because you're going to light all the other stuff on fire. And that's the only flower that can stand being around you. Like, so it's like we didn't make it in a way that fire could come in here because we never expected that they'd want to. Like,
yeah,
or that
exactly.
they should.
Even though
and it's like, you know, that's
oh my God,
every time you go into business, you know, and there's a step and you can't get in. And it's like, it's that kind of thing, you know.
And like when he shows her the flower because he really wants her to. So he comes up with this like extravagant way to be able to show her, right? And it almost kills her, kind of, right? At the end. And mm-hmm. honestly, I mean, you know, it's extreme, clearly, but like whenever I let people take, you know, lift me up a bunch of stairs or to go into, you know what I mean, in places where it's not technically safe for me because I can't escape if there is, you know, a fire or something happens or whatever. And it's like, you know, I do have to take those kind of risks in a way that a lot of able-bodied people don't.
Yeah, there's something about.
Yeah.
I was like sobbing during that whole scene. I was, yeah. Anyway.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I will fully acknowledge that like my brain just went to the race factor, right? Like I noted that line. I was like, oh, the city isn't made with fire people in mind. But, you know, this explanation makes perfect sense. And it's stuff like that that I wish they had dove a little deeper on, actually, because like, you know, it's great that this was there, whether or not it was the full intention. I don't know. You know, it may have been and yeah, more power to them. But there was also like, there were just so many other things. I was like, ooh, this would have been really good if you, like, I kept expecting, you know, when they're the whole, like, what's causing the leaks storyline was happening. I thought it was going to be something. Did we even get a resolution on that? Like,
it doesn't get, that's my one gripe too. It doesn't get resolved. Like, it ends up being just a catalyst for.
I thought it was going to be like an environmental thing where, and again, this is mm-hmm. keeping this in mind where I'm just viewing this as like, oh, these are basically people of color that they're like trying to get out of the city. And so it's like, oh, they're dumping like toxic sludge into this or like trying to force them out so they can rebuild, you know, build nicer whatevers in this part of the town. Some you know, I spiraled a little bit on it, but it just it never, nothing ever happened with it except for a lot of permits. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I agreed. Like, I wanted something like that, but then I also liked that we didn't get a villain randomly, and it was kind of like the awful treatment that people were giving each other was rooted in ignorance, which is what racism and all these things are always rooted in. So I liked that, but I agreed where I was like, but the water's still going to be coming in. So what are we doing about that? And like, you know, it was weird because we just never went back there. But I also think it's clearly a love story, but all of the marketing surrounding it has always been just kind of like this love story. And it looked very basic, and it's not the most in-depth, crazy thing ever, but I do think that they could have marketed it about in that way more about like, oh, there's actually a mystery at play here, and there's all these other things too, not just like it's,
well,
just
they can't
the
do the mystery because that has no resolution. I would have been so angry if
but it should have and could have, and that part I do think is a bit of a disappointment. But
well, I think
the love story I thought was so good that I loved it.
I think speaks to the fear and like the root of my wanting more from the, you know, if you're going to commit to these other parts of it, is that they're probably like, oh, you know, non-immigrant adjacent audiences aren't going to care. You know, they'll get scared away by the allegory for race or, you know, economic strata and stuff like that. Like, love. Blue, red, love.
For me, though, I don't know. Maybe this is just whatever, but I like that it just ended up being a love story and that we didn't need to clutter it with, like, all this other stuff. I mean, I will say, like, sure. I mean, if there had been like a resolution, that would have been fine. I didn't even notice, though, to be perfectly honest. And then, but I think sometimes like romance movies or movies about romance are like thought of as only things women can enjoy. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, I really like the idea that you can just like make a romance that is just, you know, for everyone.
That's fair.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's just that when you make, and again, I'm saying this as someone who loves this movie, like, but if I'm looking at it with a critical, I think that when you're making a movie that is all allegory, right, it then becomes a thing where you are choosing to make this something that has deeper meaning than just being a love story.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
So you're because it's allegorical.
Yeah.
So at that point, you do want to have a real point of view and let it and have it land more and be kind of more like, I hesitate to make the comparison, but this feels very much kind of like in many ways kind of like Pixar's Zootopia, that kind of like what you look at what's done there, and the message in that film isn't like crazy heavy-handed, but you get it. You know what I mean? But the mystery at hand is very interesting, you know, and granted that's a friendship, not a love story, but it's that kind of thing where this just, yeah, it felt like it leaned more on, okay, well, once they end up together, the audience will be happy enough, and that's all that matters. And I was happy enough, but with a critical eye, yeah, I think it could have been more,
I'm gonna throw it out there. I was happy that they got to, but this is terrible. I wanted him to sacrifice himself. I wanted him to Titanic at the end. I knew it was a Pixar movie and that there's no way that he was going to evaporate forever, but the whole, like, crying to come back to life thing, I was like, oh.
Yeah, but I like laughed, cried so hard in that I was happy with him
Me
coming
too.
Back. But I was
loved
at,
it.
Just, like, liking that he
I
sacrificed.
Really liked it. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have hated it if he sacrificed himself, but you know, I'd love it.
Because then I would have been. I'd be like, God, it's
I'm not.
Like the ultimate love, and like she, you know, she just she gets to go explore that, and it doesn't have to be, you know, about a guy. That is the one thing I was like. And I don't think they went overboard with this, but a lot of the forcing function of her wanting to like explore and this like that was also tied to him and like having a relationship with him. I was like, no, just go explore the world because you want to explore the world, or you want to be a glassblower, or you want to do whatever, you know. I don't think they went too far in that direction, but I was still like,
it could have, because it's a thing where I think they did a really good job of making it like she's not trying to just give up all the things she wanted for a guy, because it was very clear that he was like immediately into her, you know, when she wasn't even thinking about him like that for a while, it felt like, you know, and then it felt as if it was something where he just helped open her eyes with an outside perspective that she's not familiar with, helped open her eyes to like her own roadblocks that she's putting up for herself or that are there that she feels are there, whatever. And it kind of just expanded her mind a bit. But then you also get into the whole kind of savior thing, you know, and you're kind of like, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So I was glad he wasn't a white savior, I'll say that.
Right. He was a blue savior. Yes, yeah.
a black actor as well, though. It wasn't just a...
Yeah.
It was at least nice.
Well, and I will also give a compliment where a compliment to do. I like that they didn't stunt cast. You know, they cast actors for sure, but they weren't just like, and now another Chris says somebody, you know. Yeah. I was like, thank goodness.
They got people who were really, really good at the roles they were playing.
Yeah.
And although, really
I mean, I didn't think it was bad, but Ronnie Del Carver was such an odd... I say this like, no, I grew up with his son, so I was just like, what? Okay. All right. It was fine. You know, they have a long history of casting like directors and stuff like that as voice actors. I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, Pete Zone himself is the brother in Ratatouille. Yeah.
Right.
Emile.
Well, I was like, I'd like to also point out that my favorite character really was the mother of Ember. And her
of Ember.
The love. Sniffing out the love. Like, I thought she was
I thought that was so funny. Like, when she was, like, fighting the doorman, I thought I was just...
That was a very funny, yes.
And then she's like, I'm tired, I have to go home. And he's all melted, but yeah. He's like...
My biggest note is, like, the whole thing is centering around them effectively being immigrant parents and stuff like that. And they were, like, not... They were way too fine with it at the end and, like, too, you know, understanding and all this stuff. I was like, no, that's wrong. Incorrect. Well,
but then it's the thing also where it's like, but this is also for the immigrant parents to watch and be like, oh,
I know. But it was just,
it's like,
you
know, okay.
The rest of it felt very accurate, but I was like, this is off.
And you're like, oh, realism out the door, you know?
Realism in the city made up of elements. Yeah.
No, but I could see that. But I did like the line of him just like, the shop is never the dream. You were the dream. And I was like,
It was sweet.
But no, I could see that.
Yeah. But no, overall, I thought it was fine. It just, I think for me, something like Turning Red was, Turning Red was made for me. So I was just like, okay, you know, coming off of that, I'm like, this is fine. Sweet.
Yeah.
But I think actually I appreciate both of you, you know, expounding on what spoke to you about it, because I do think it added depth to it. And I'm like, oh, if I rewatch this, like, I will be able to look at it with a different lens.
Yeah, which is cool. But there's something to be said about, you know, like, talking about not hitting things, nailing them in as far as maybe they could have. Like, the whole thing I just brought up about the accessibility kind of speaking to me in that way, it's like, I don't know that it would have spoken to me that way 20 years ago before I met Jackie and had spent this much time with her. You know, because it's like, so it should be clear.
Well, yeah,
if that's the intention, then I want it to be more. You can really nail it in more for everybody who hasn't had the experiences, you know.
Right.
Well, then, or not as familiar with them.
Right, because there is the what I drew from it, you know, inherently without having this discussion was just, I was like, oh, yeah, it's basically, you know, segregation, it's the internment of Americans of Japanese descent, you know, or the Chinese Exclusion Act, where it's just like, fill in the blank, not welcome here. You know, they've given a reason in that there's a theoretical, physical, you know, barrier to it, but bullshit. Clearly the flowers were fine.
Totally. Fun. And I also did want a little more reason that dad and mom left fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Where were they?
Because it was like, oh, a storm
Fire
came
Island.
Our house. Fire Island. I don't know. What is it?
Now, I was like,
our house got destroyed.
I don't actually know what it's called, but now it's called Fire Island.
Like, it was Fire. Yeah, Fireland.
Let's just say, I hope it was. Yeah. That's hilarious. No, but it's like, oh, our house got destroyed, and then so we decided to go start anew somewhere else, and it was like, they were all mad. The dad was disappointed with them and stuff, and it was like, only their house got destroyed, but also like the house got destroyed, and you thought, oh, we'll have a better time going to this place that's not built for us to make it. And I wanted a little more depth to like.
Yeah, I think the assumption is like, oh, it's built for us, and then it's like, you know, it's the whole.
Yeah,
but
like this colony that was clearly like all these like houses made, just made, you know, and it's like no one could help them rebuild their house. Like it was just, you know, like so I wanted them to like want to go to this other place, and that the family was like, why? You know, you know, like, you know, something a little more, but it was fine. But I just, I noticed, I was like, oh, that's a weird reason.
Yeah. There were some times where I was just like, I don't understand how their clothing works.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of, sorry, the logic leap I made there was like, I liked her dress. Sometimes
her
I was like, there are some logic moments here that I'm like, I don't quite understand. Like the rules of this universe aren't 100%.
Especially the water ones. Like you got the gags of like Wade, like, taking his shirt off to walk through the fence, but then like when he's sucked into a pipe or when he gets comes back, when he's like the shirt just, you know, it comes back. Right. It's weird, but
and then but so by that, like Wade can, you know, completely evaporate and still come back to life. So if she gets splashed with water by the above ground subway, whatever you would call it, monorail thing,
yeah,
does that mean she'd be okay? Like she reassembles herself, but you know, I'm just saying, yeah, there's some, yeah, like.
Yeah,
we're giving I'm giving it too much to like.
No, know. Totally. I was thinking that like he evaporated and essentially made it into like a sauna, like a steam room, and there was nowhere for the air to really all go.
That yeah.
So yes, he was still in there, but if it was just an open sky, in that case, couldn't he rain back down eventually? I, you know, I was like, how does that all work? But it's like whatever. Exactly. But yeah,
these are questions we will never get answers to. Please, God, let them not make an Elemental 2. I don't need Elemental 2.
No, yeah, I think it's really
we told our story.
Thing to just kind of leave it where it is, and I agree with that.
Yeah, but
yeah.
All right. Good time. Well, we're watching what? What else did we watch this week?
Watched Amy Schumer's new stand-up special, which was fun. But I love Amy, and I watch all of her specials, and I've been to see her many times, and I'm like, I'm ready for her to get some like newer material because a lot of it's like recycled. And she's had if you watch like the last special and the special, she's told the same joke in them both some of the time, and I'm kind of like, I'm ready for her to evolve it. But you know, I always enjoy watching her.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to think if there was something else. Oh, Project Runway came back. I started that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's season 20, so it's like all stars, but it's not all stars. You know, but so it's people that are back. It's people that are back, but it's really
memorable people. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But they're like, it's like an all star season, but it's I think with this new runway that's back in Brova, they don't have all stars anymore because that was a Lifetime thing.
Got it.
Oh,
anyway, go ahead.
I watched The Queer Ultimatum. Not all of it. I'm not done yet.
But, yes, yes, yes. It's so good.
And it was great. Very much enjoying it.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it so much. I watched all of it.
And I'm still watching New Jersey Housewives.
I watched both of your recommendations, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. Very curious interested. Indeed. Curious indeed. Definitely felt her side is missing. Or both her side and the mom's side. So I'm interested.
I
to
really
see
wish
they do the follow up.
I hope that like season two digs into that more, but maybe the wife didn't want to be on it or something.
Yeah,
I got the impression. Yeah, she didn't want to be involved, but
which is why her side is just gone.
But when you see like, because all even actually even Natalia, all the maybe they didn't want her involved because they wanted to tell it in their surprise way. But once you see she's like an adult and talking, because like, when I was first watching, I thought maybe she died or something. Because I was like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, well, yeah, or was like in jail and not able to,
yeah, you know, something, yeah,
participate or something.
And then you see it got her case got dismissed, and it's like, okay, you know,
yeah, it was, but it was interesting. You know, one episode too long, which the two of you warned me about.
Yeah,
and I don't feel entirely positive that we're going to get a season two, to be honest.
But me neither.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I heard it might be like,
yeah, I think that they left it where they could, but I'm assuming that.
I think it just has to be like a development, you know, otherwise.
Yeah, I'm assuming the reveal was something like sexual assault related with dad or something. And then.
Yeah, that makes
like,
sense.
The accusation. But then it's like with the text that like the wife's case got dismissed and all this, whatever. It's just kind of like, okay, unless there's a new
well,
case
his
coming
double,
up, I don't know what they're going to cover.
But his double jeopardy, like joy was like so gross that it was like, oh no, you definitely did something weird. You know what I mean? Like you're a manipulator too, for sure.
Yeah, everyone was just yucky.
Yes, very. But yeah, I saw Joyride, which comes out in a couple weeks, and it was absolutely delightful.
Oh, I'm jealous. I want to see that.
So excited.
Stephanie Chu's in that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
And Sherry Cola.
Mm-hmm.
And then Extraction 2, which we may or may not talk about. Oh, I started watching. I'm not proud of this, but I am. Match Me Abroad, which is from like a, it's similar to like a 90 day, but these people have decided to basically, you know, go to a, you know, work with a matchmaker in a foreign country. Yeah, it's actually pretty good so far. I mean, it is if you like those types of shows.
Right.
I like watched a bunch of them and I realized that it was still airing. And so I like couldn't binge the whole season. I was like, damn it. What the hell? Which, nice. You know, it is what it is.
Like, I think that might be, I mean, I've watched, yeah, I was like, I can't try to think back, but. I think that was it.
Oh, Brave New Worlds started again. That was exciting.
Oh, yeah. I heard an ad for it, and I did not realize that it was – I will watch that. Yeah.
I've, of course, kept up with Platonic, Silo, and I did watch The Crowded Room again.
Well, it's always – summer's always an odd time.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, thank you both.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a rating or a review or even consider subscribing.